Good afternoon, everyone. Today is the July 21st meeting of the Madison Landmarks Commission. I'm going to hand it over to Mary Rose to discuss the processes and procedures for tonight's meeting.
Landmarks Commission members, please use video if you're able so we can ensure we have quorum. If you wish to speak, remember to use the raise hand feature. Also use the raise hand feature to make a motion or second. Voting will be considered unanimous. However, if you object to a unanimous vote, please use the raise hand feature when the chair asks for objections and a roll call vote will be taken. Members of the public who have registered to speak, we currently don't have anyone registered to speak tonight, but if they were in attendance, they would need to remain muted until called upon. Staff will unmute them and they'll have 3 minutes to speak and staff will let them know when their time is up. Chair, the floor is yours.
Thank you. So first part of the business is approval of the minutes. Do I have a motion for the approval of the July 7th, 2025 meeting minutes? Marisa, I think that was a motion. So I'm looking for a second. Yep. Oh, thank you, Alder Duncan. I'm going to assume unanimous consent and I will move on to public comment. This is the period of the Madison Landmarks Commission meeting in which the public can may comment on anything that is not on our agenda. However, as Mary Rose already said, we have no registrants for this meeting at the moment. So I will move on to disclosures and recusals. Members of the body should make any required disclosures or recusals under the city's ethics code. Seeing none, I will move on to agenda item number two. Our guest speaker, Jennifer Gursky, from the Madison Trust for Historic Preservation. And I apologize if I did not pronounce your name correctly, Jennifer. But I think I'm probably handing it over to Heather first to give us a short little spiel into it.
Welcome everyone tonight. We have periodically members of our community partners come in and talk about what they're doing and how that intersects with historic preservation world. So Jennifer Gursky was with the Madison Trust for Historic Preservation, and she's here tonight to talk about some of the work that the Madison Trust does, in particular, a newish grant program that is in its second year and relates to properties that have a local historic designation. So Jennifer, I'll turn it over to you.
Great. Thanks, Heather. And I think I can share a short PowerPoint, right? Oh my. Okay. Can everyone see that okay? Great. Okay. Thank you, Heather. I appreciate the introduction. And thanks to everyone for giving me a few minutes to talk about the Madison Trust and our preservation grant. My name is Jennifer Gursky. I'm the program director for the Madison Trust for Historic Preservation. For any of you who may be unfamiliar with our organization, we're a small local nonprofit that works to celebrate our city's historic places through advocacy and education. I do want to mention right now, we're in the middle of our historic architecture walking tour season. This is our most popular educational program we do. We see about 1,400 guests every summer that walk around Madison and learn more about our history and architecture through our neighborhoods. So, as Heather mentioned, I'm here to talk about our preservation grant. We do want to recognize Erica Gehrig. She gave a very generous donation to make this grant possible. So I want to make sure that we thank her every chance we get. Let's see. There you go. As Heather mentioned, it's a $10,000 grant. We do say gift amounts, a minimum of $5,000, maximum of $10,000. That is the ultimate decision is with the selection committee, how those grants are divided up. But to make it easier for applications, these are the numbers that we have for people who might want to apply. So these are just important dates for the grant process that we wanted to make sure we mentioned. The applications for this year open next week. So great timing for talking about the grant. If you know someone who may decide that they want to apply for the preservation grant, but they might be close to that October 1st deadline, just have them reach out to us. We are happy to work with people. They feel like they're tight on that timeline and might need help with the application. We really want to work with people and make sure that anyone who's interested in applying for the grant is able to make that happen. So this slide talks about the specifics for the grant. So we have two categories that people can apply for when applying for the grant. So we have bricks and mortar projects. And an important note is that we do say they must meet the Secretary of Interior standards. That is very important to us. We mention a few of the projects that might take place that people would apply for, but this is definitely not a complete list. So if anyone has any questions you might know of that they're unsure if their project fits the parameters, we're happy to talk to people. But this just gives people an idea of what they might be seeing, or probably like what we see most when people are talking to us about their historic windows or masonry, things that are a little more expensive and a little more tricky to fix. We also support Madison Landmark nominations. One thing I forgot to mention is that the bricks and mortar projects are for Madison Landmark buildings or buildings within local historic districts. So we really wanted to make sure that the preservation grant really focused on Madison and supporting these buildings and spaces in Madison that might need extra help. I did want to mention just a couple, the two projects that received grants in 2024. They were both for the bricks and mortar projects. The one on the left, the 125 East Gilman Street, is the Daniel Campbell House. It was built in 1883. It's in the Mansion Hill Historic District. Wonderful, wonderful building. They applied for structural work to be done on the wraparound porch. And we are working with the owner currently on trying to get that project off the ground. It'll cost much more than what he received for the grant. So we're trying to work out how best he can do that project. And then Grace Episcopal Church on the right, they applied and received some money from us in their project to replace the slate roof system on the nave. This portion of the church was completed in 1858, and this is a Madison Landmark, number 45. So the bulk of the information about project submittal materials can be found on our website, but I just want to mention a few items here that are important. So we do only have an online form, but the good thing about the form is that you can fill out the form and go back to it, so you won't lose any of your information. You used to lose your information, and now you don't anymore, so you can come back to it when you need to. While we don't require an itemized budget for the grant, we do want to see expected expenses for the project. So that's important to our selection committee. And then the last bullet point is primarily for landmark nomination selections. So the letter of support must be submitted with the application to make sure that the owner of the property is on board with the nomination. Okay, and like I did say, a lot of the detailed information, the terms of the grant, and additional information about the selection committee's information that they look at when they review applications is all on our website. And we can always be contacted for any questions if people are wondering if they should apply or if they might fit the parameters. We are always happy to answer any questions. I think that's for me, unless there's any questions.
Does anyone have any questions for Jennifer?
Okay. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the few minutes you gave us to talk about this. And again, if you know anyone or you know people who own these properties who might need a little extra help, please have them reach out to us. We would love to have the opportunity.
Yeah, we'll have to please everybody, if you know anybody who owns the landmark, please pass it on. Heather, are you allowed to point people in this direction as a member
Yes,
of the city?
absolutely.
Excellent. Okay, great.
For properties with local historic designation, there aren't a lot of incentives to assist with preservation, maintenance, and adaptive reuse of those resources. For commercial properties, the city's facade improvement grant is an option, and there's extra things that are allowed as part of that for properties with a local historic designation, be it a designated landmark in a local historic district. But the vast majority of properties that have local historic designation are residential properties, and there aren't a lot of resources for those property owners. So the examples that Jennifer shared, one is the church, which also has difficulties with getting a commercial grant. That's not really their thing. And the other one is a house, which also doesn't have a lot of other resources through the city. So having this community partner be able to provide these resources to provide that chunk of funding, and as you get into any kind of construction project, you realize they cost a whole lot more than you ever expected. But that little bit of extra money for that larger budget makes a big difference. So this is really a wonderful opportunity for people.
Great. Thank you so much. I'll stop sharing here as you can.
No worries.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank
Excellent.
you.
Thank you for your time. Okay. Moving on to Heather. I'm sorry, I forgot since it's been a meeting since I've done this. Are we doing all of the demos separately now since they are all divided out? So should I
No
do
worries.
agenda? Yeah, how would you like me to call them out?
We are doing, oh, and I'm sorry, I'm trying to pull up the correct PowerPoint now. There we go. Okay, sorry. So I'm going to recommend we do them all as part of a package. You can vote on them individually, or you can vote on them all together. These
Okay.
do show up as separate legislative files. And so for public testimony, and we don't have anyone registered for the public testimony, people can speak to each of them if they've registered for them separately. But for tonight, we don't have any registrants. And while there's separate staff reports for all of them, I'm going to do a single presentation.
Okay, so if I just say next on the agenda items number 3 through 9, we should be good. Or do you,
Yes.
I, okay, excellent, perfect. Just wanted to make sure I didn't need to read off all of their.
Commissioner Taylor?
Hey, Heather, is this like a demo that's maybe going to turn into a land combination for a set of apartments? Is that what this is?
Yes, and I've got you're predicting the slides. I have a slide that sort of covers all the stuff. For our purposes, we're dealing with each of these properties individually. But yes, it is part of a, you'll notice that they're all right next to each other. It is part of a larger redevelopment.
And it's going from the corner of Farrell's Road where the tire shop is, halfway down the block, almost to the church.
Yep.
Okay.
Well, Chair, do you want to start us off and then I'll do my presentation?
Yeah, sorry. Next on the agenda is agenda items number 3 through 9 for the demolition historic value review.
Okay.
Heather.
Thanks. Okay. So to start off, predicting Maurice's question here. So this is part of a larger redevelopment of a site that started with a couple of properties and has expanded to include several more. So the letter of intent is that the applicant filed the same package that covered all of these resources. The submittal materials are on each one, but then there is a page on each particular property to provide you a little bit more information on dates of construction and pictures of existing conditions. So this is also a little bit more complicated in that two of the properties already had their demos approved by the Plan Commission before our recent ordinance change for how we do historic value reviews. So two of the demos are already approved, and we reviewed them for historic value a while ago. The scope of the project has expanded out, and it's now, so I did this purple, very complicated polygon that covers the larger redevelopment, and then also called out that there's two properties in here that are not part of the application materials because Lammers Christian has already reviewed them and Plan Commission has already approved the demos. So this is the overall site that we're talking about. Okay, so I started from Fair Oaks and then kind of worked my way around. So 930 North Fair Oaks, this is a commercial building constructed in 1977. See this metal building here, and I go into a little bit more detail in the staff report. This particular property doesn't have a whole lot of information, but staff is doing a recommended finding of no known historic value. Working our way up around. Okay, so this one is a little bit more complicated. 3357 East Washington Avenue. I call that with a little asterisk here. The staff report that I posted on Legistar for this particular property up until this morning when I noticed that I had switched these. 3375 East Washing is also a part of this, but while I posted that staff report under 3375, I also posted the 3375 East Washington Avenue staff report on this one. That's since been updated. This property and the next one are going to look nearly identical for all that they were constructed a couple years apart. They are mirror images of each other. And over here on the aerial view, you can see this is the property we're talking about right now. And then its mirrored twin is literally right next door, tucked in the middle of this triangle block. But this was constructed in 1957. This contains four units. It was constructed as an apartment building, continues to serve as an apartment building. But other than that, it is not architecturally significant and there are no known historic associations. Therefore, there's a staff recommended finding of no known historic value. Okay, going next door. This is a different building. You can tell a little bit the way the parking lot you see over here is on the right now. But nearly identical building. This one was constructed in 1952. Not architecturally significant, no known historic associations. Therefore, staff is recommending a finding of no known historic value. 3361, working our way up the street. Commercial building constructed in 1962. I'm trying to remember if this is the one that, I think this is the property where Edward Tuff was the architect of record, and we have seen other things of his that were like from the 19 teens and 1920s. He did a lot of revival style commercial buildings during that time. And this is the first time I've noted, he did some mid-century modern. George Kinnair was the general contractor. If any of you know my coworker, Rebecca Kinnair, that's sort of her family industry. So yes, this other knowing some of the people here, this there's no known historic associations. This particular property is not architecturally significant. So staff has a recommended finding of no known historic value. Okay, working our way up next door, 3365 East Washington Avenue. Commercial building constructed in 1969. Not architecturally significant. You can see there's several things that have changed over time. And there's some interesting textured concrete block around the back, but not architecturally significant and no known historic associations. Working our way further up, 3371 East Washington also has the interesting concrete block around the back, but Other than that, not architecturally significant, no known historic associations, therefore recommended finding of no known historic value. This particular property might look familiar. Is a sort of standard design for when it was constructed. We recently looked at a building that was nearly identical to this, that was just off of the Beltline over by Todd, and but this is a different building. We have not seen this one before. So 3375 East Washington. It was constructed in 1954. It is not independently architecturally significant, and there's no known historic associations. So that covers all of those properties. So while I have given those recommended findings, you can make your own findings based upon the information that you have there. But here is our set of standard findings for you to make a motion, either as a group or to call some out separately to make separate motions.
Okay, does anyone have any questions for Heather? Otherwise, I'm looking for a motion or discussion. Molly.
I will move C, no known historic value for all of the listed properties.
Excellent. Alder Duncan, is that a second?
Yes.
Excellent. Thank you. I will assume unanimous consent then. And I believe that means I'm looking for a motion for adjournment. Quick meeting today.
Motion to adjourn.
Thanks. Maurice, can I use you as a second? I saw your hand up. Excellent. Thank you, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your July, and I will see you in a couple of weeks. Bye, everyone.